friends, this is a tough passage. Hopefully when we hear it, we wonder, where is the love? Because in this relationship between owner and tenants, there should have been some intimacy in that relationship. But obviously in this passage and the story that Jesus tells us, the relationship grows sour. The violence and corruption here in this story are absolutely sickening. Much like the violence being played out in our country today, it rightfully makes our stomach turns. And as we reflect on the situation of domestic violence, which ranks number two in our county, just after problems with drugs. It's a serious issue. There should be a time that we ponder why in the world there is so much violence around us. And we will likely never know what drove Stephen Paddock to kill so many innocent people in Las Vegas. And in the end, it doesn't matter. People were slaughtered needlessly. Bitterness and selfishness take center stage for those who commit such violence on other people. Anger about the hand they have been dealt in life, or maybe just their own extreme selfishness. And somehow they imagine that carrying out a heinous act of violence might make them feel better about themselves, or at least in some way even the odds, and make everyone else miserable. Jesus is sent into the world to redeem the corruption and violence of humanity. And how does the world respond? That's right. With more egregious violence and corruption. And unfortunately, if Jesus was sent today instead of 2,000 years ago, I believe the same fate would befall him. That religious leaders, both people of the church and politicians that claim to be Christian, would in some way find a way to take Jesus out of this world. For sin drives us to do awful acts, and stubbornness keeps us from repenting. Yet God calls us to move away from these violent tendencies that we see in the very beginning with Cain, and to move into the radical love of Jesus Christ. So friends, in this text there's a sad and unfortunate history of interpretation, that often this passage is one that gets used for anti-Semitic views, that those tenants are the Jewish people, and they are the ones that killed the prophets and killed Jesus, and so the propaganda goes, should be despised, rejected, and maybe even exterminated, which was the mentality that got us to the Holocaust. So it was the religious leaders, again, not just the clergy types, but also the civil leaders of faith, who Jesus is condemning in this passage. The vineyard, instead of representing all people, was in this time representing the chosen people, Israel. And the tenants are those who are supposed to care for the vineyard. They're the ones placed in leadership, given the responsibility to tend the vineyard, to be the caretaker. The owner sends servants who are shown violence that escalates each and every time. And then as Jesus ends the story to further show their violent hearts, when asked what should happen to these despicable, wicked tenants, the leaders respond with, "Destroy them!" Then, what do? They plot to kill and destroy Jesus. cycle of violence continues. So this is not a condemnation of all Jews, but rather a judgment of irresponsible and toxic leaders. They show a horrendous lack of respect for the Creator by brutally seeking their own interests at the expense of the cosmic owner of all. And Jesus, with this story, spells out the dangers of the attitudes of corruption and violence that are so prevalent. Now, often these are not acted upon so openly. Most people, thankfully, are not eager to beat up people and kill them. You know, we don't see a whole lot of that in Mount Pleasant or Pittsburgh or Mount Vernon. Yet we do thirst for vengeance in many situations. Think about this. This is one that I struggle with. Do we not desire that threats to our nations, like terrorist groups and North Korea, be wiped off the map so that we here in the United States can live peacefully? That would make things a lot easier, wouldn't it? But I'm pretty sure, in fact, I'm certain that this is not what Jesus had in mind for his disciples. That he wanted precisely the opposite. Christ states that the new tenants will care for the vineyard. These, of course, are the disciples, the 12 plus others that follow Jesus who assume leadership of the Lord's vineyard. They are passed the torch. Well, friends, that extends to us also. We are the disciples of Jesus Christ. We are followers of this Jesus. And we have taken on the mantle of leadership, but beware. We are just as sinful as the religious leaders of Jesus' day. We have the same tendencies toward hate, corruption, and violence through our self-centeredness. As humans, we think we know what is best for God's vineyard, and we couldn't be more wrong. We attempt to steal creation from the Creator with our violent acts. In many ways, we try to take ownership of a vineyard that was never ours to possess. For it is the Lord's vineyard, and we are merely stewards and servants who are responsible for its caretaking. Christians are quick to judge the violence of domestic terrorists like Stephen Paddock and Timothy McVeigh. Yet surprisingly slow to recognize their own wickedness and tendency toward violence and corruption. This is the same trap that the Pharisees and other religious leaders fell into when they heard this story. They right away knew who the wicked ones were and called for their destruction. But this is an old and ancient problem. In the book of Genesis, one of the first problems we encounter is the rivalry between two brothers. Cain took his brother's life in hatred and jealousy, harboring feelings of vengeance, hatred, superiority over others, and bitterness send us down this same wicked path. And we see in Genesis, over and over again, the history of violence repeats itself. It's not long before we get to the story of Joseph. And Joseph is seen as special and favored, and his brothers want to kill him. And thankfully, they relent and they compromise to just throw him in a pit and sell him into slavery. And I've considered that with my brother, but thankfully, it never got that far. And of course, slavery is not much better than wanting to take someone's life. So it is time for us to recognize the true owner of the vineyard and cast away our desire to take possession of it, to feel that our needs come before what God desires. For we are called to care for God's creation at all costs, even if that means laying down our lives like Jesus and the prophets did in order to spread radical and forgiving love. And the most shocking part about this parable is not the wickedness of the tenants, but the way in which God responds to them. For it is not the Lord that calls for their destruction. That is what the religious leaders and ruling class say. And they end up saying it about themselves. Instead, Jesus says they will be removed from their positions of caretaking for their dreadful mismanagement. But the Lord refrains from giving them what everyone knows that they deserve, which would be their destruction. But God even extends mercy to the ones that plot to kill him. And friends, this is the good news, that even though our wickedness merits eternal death, Christ lays down his life for us, so that we might rise with Christ into new life, so that we can live into love and compassion rather than violence and corruption. So as followers of Jesus, we have the responsibility to relinquish our desires for owning God's earth. We are God's chosen disciples who steward and care for all that God owns. This is a wonderful and incredible task. We have been given a great opportunity to take part in God's kingdom in the here and now. But we must be careful, for selfishness leads us down the dangerous path of violence and corruption. That is why we see these horrible events that unfold in the news. That is why domestic violence continues to be a problem. So let us tend the Lord's vineyard with passion and compassion in a way that helps people see the fruit of love in our lives so that they might embrace it in their lives as well. God's kingdom is entrusted to our very care. And that is an incredible responsibility that we cannot take lightly. So today I wonder, are we helping God's vineyard bear fruit? Or are we in some ways plotting its takeover? Friends, my prayer for us is that may God grant us mercy to turn from our destructive ways and embrace the life-giving movement of the Spirit in the here and now. For we have been called to be agents of love. And Christ sets that model for us to be forgiving, to love even when love is not deserved. And so may our lives reflect this incredible and radical love. And in this way, we can help cure the issues of violence and corruption around us. To God be all the glory.